I think you have to understand a little bit of background, and in my eyes, Psalms 20 and 21 kind of go together, and you'll kind of see why. They form a little bit of a snapshot, I think, of David's heart, and I believe they really illustrate part of the reason why God calls David a man after his own heart. Now, I know Joe's already spoken about Psalms 20, so I'm going to kind of give you a little Cliff Notes version. How it applies into 21. So basically, there was a war that was coming, and David was about to march out with his armies to, you know, fight a battle. That's when he writes and sings Psalms chapter 20. And it basically is a prayer to God before the battle. And he says things to God like, "Now I am sure that the Lord will deliver his chosen king. And some trust in chariots and others in horses, but we depend on the Lord our God." Long story short, David and the Israelites went out, they were victorious in their battle, and then after they came home, David writes and sings what we know as the 21st Psalm. So if you want to turn over, I'm going to go ahead and read the first 7 verses. "O Lord, the king rejoices in the strength you give. He takes delight in the deliverance you provide. You grant him his heart's desire. You do not refuse his request. For you bring him rich blessings. You place a golden crown on his head. He asked you to sustain his life, and you have granted him long life and an enduring dynasty. Your deliverance brings him great honor, and you give him majestic splendor. For you grant him lasting blessings. You give him great joy by allowing him into your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord, and because the sovereign Lord's faithfulness, he is not upended." Now, if you didn't figure it out, the king is David. For whatever reason, he refers to himself in the third person here. I guess it sounds more poetic or something. So Psalms 21 is the prayer after this battle. God was with the Israelites, and God led them to victory. And David recognized this, and he wanted to make sure that God got all of the glory for that. And then his tone changes slightly as we come to verse 8, which I'll be reading 8 through 13, the end. "You prevail over all your enemies. Your power is too great for those that hate you. You burn them up like a fiery furnace when you appear. The Lord angrily devours them. The fire consumes them. You destroy their offspring from the earth, their descendants from among the human race. Yes, they intended to do you harm. They dream up a scheme, but they do not succeed. For you make them retreat when you shoot arrows at them. Rise up, O Lord, in strength. We will sing your praise and your power." Now that's pretty powerful, and David continues his prayer there with a full acknowledgement that it is God, it is God's power that has brought them this far, and that he continues to place his faith in God's power. He says, "Your power is too great for your enemies, and you will prevail over them." So in this psalm, not only is he praising God, thanking God for what he's already done, but he's reiterating his faith to God, saying, "I know you will keep us through this. I know that you have all this power, and that you help us, those that are faithful to you." Now, taking a little step back from that, we look at the two psalms together in this kind of this whole story here. And we can see where David's focus was and where his heart was. That's with God. Now, we don't lead armies into war like David did. Or at least I don't. I don't know about you. But we still definitely have struggles of our own, and we have troubles. We still face these struggles. And I think it's safe to say that the tactics David used here will still apply to us, just as they did for him. And that we should put our faith in God not only when we know struggles are imminent. I know this is something that that I fail on often, is, you know, there'll be something big coming up, something that I know is out of my power on my own, and I'll pray to God. I'll be right there, talking to him constantly, asking for his help, telling him I need him. And then once it's all said and done, all right, we're good. I got it from here. You know, I go on. And that's one thing, Dave, I think that really rings true in verse 21, is David didn't just stop there. Okay, you know, we put our faith in the Lord and we won. He continues to sing the praises of God afterwards, continues to say that, God, this was your victory. Thank you for bringing us along in it. So we need to put, not only put our faith into God when we know struggles are imminent, but to give him the glory once we've emerged victorious. Now, one more part that I really want to point out here makes itself obvious in the last line of this psalm. We will sing your praise and your power. The operative word here being we. These aren't just chapters from David's personal diary. These are psalms. These are psalms that were sang out. And you can tell from the, you know, at the very beginning, it says, notes to the musical director. So these were, you know, you put music to them. So I don't know this for an absolute fact, but in my headcanon, David had his entire army singing Psalms 20 as they marched out to war. And on their way back, they were all singing Psalms 21, thanking God. And I think it would have been easy for David to pray these prayers, quietly, by his bed or in his closet or however he would do it. And I'm sure he did also have prayers, probably even these same prayers he prayed privately to God. But he didn't just leave it there. David took it the next step. Because I think he knew that if he just did that, if he, prayed himself and, quietly, thank you, God, I know I couldn't have done this without you. It might not have been immediately, but eventually the Israelites would have started looking to David as their deliverer. They would have started to say, oh, David led us through these great battles. David is the one that, if it wasn't for him, we couldn't have done this. And David being the king, he knew that the Israelites would have done that. And so he takes it a step further and he publicly declares that this was God. This battle was won by God. In verse 3, you bring him rich blessings. You place the golden crown on his head. He's acknowledging even that the only reason he's the king is because God has said so, and because God put him there. And he constantly acknowledges that it's God's deliverance that brings the honor, that God grants these lasting blessings, and that because of his faith in the Lord that he was able to persevere. So I think we can apply that part as well to ourselves. So remembering not only that we need to praise God after we have overcome trials, but that especially in trials of a public nature, now, some trials are a lot more personal and you don't necessarily have to go, telling everyone that, I had this great sin that finally with God's help I was able to overcome. But when we do have those victories that are of a public nature, we should try and follow David's example and publicly give that praise to God. Because while, it's all good and great to give that praise to God in public, and I'm sure he knows and loves when you do that, we should, if we want to also be men and women after God's own heart, that we should kind of follow in David's example there and publicly try and give back that praise to God. And so if you have not yet followed God's will in your life and you wish to come up, you can do so as we sing the final song.